Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Cortland Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey everyone, happy new year. Corey Fleck here along with Shadmar Quits. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. As a note on this weekend edition, we are going to replay some of our interviews from this past week. Market commentary, a lot focused on the resource sector as well as the broad averages. These segments, again, are pulled from this week. I hope you all enjoy, and I hope you all had a very happy new year. Let's look forward to 2022. We're chatting with Dave Erfley, founder and editor of the Junior Miner Junkie. Now, Dave, we've been chatting off mic for quite a while now, just discussing generally the precious metals sector, the way it's reacted this year, and just how poorly the stocks have performed, starting with more of a short-term comment here regarding tax loss selling. You're making the comment off mic that this is the worst tax loss selling at the end of the year that you have ever seen. Now, we heard arguments, or at least narratives, that people were doing their tax loss selling halfway through the year, three quarters of the way through the year, and some of the more bullish outlooks was that tax loss selling was over as we moved into December, or really the late part of November when we got that bounce. Problem is, well, we've seen more tax loss selling. So Dave, what are your thoughts about why tax loss selling has been so bad this year and what it means moving into early next year?
Oh yeah, Corey, it's been brutal. It's been like I said, yeah, it's the worst tax loss selling I've ever seen, and I've been in the sector almost 20 years. Well, there's a few reasons. First of all, it started in mid-June, you know, as soon as the Federal Reserve came out and started talking about tapering. That was the key for the latecomers that had come into this sector earlier chasing strength to get out of their gold stocks. And that's when it started. And I figured it had wrapped up early, like most everybody else. When we had that strong bounce in November, we had a weekly close above 1850 in the gold price. And it looked like, you know, we had strong bounces in a lot of the juniors, and it looked like tax loss selling might have ended early, but nope. We had yet another bull trap. There's been a couple of bull traps during this consolidation process, and there's also been some bear traps. And this was a bull trap, and then the tax loss selling really kicked into high gear, and the tax loss selling officially ends tomorrow for Canadians, but for U.S. investors, you know, the market is open normal hours this week, so they can take their tax losses right into the last day of trading of the year, which is December 31st. But reasons for it, well, basically you've had what? The S&P 500 is trying to make its 70th all-time high this year, closed today. So, you know, with equities continuing to go sky high, every other sector being extreme overbought, except for maybe the miners, you know, the miners are as extreme undervalued as equities are extreme overvalued here. And it's continuing. But the good news is that, like I said, this tax loss selling is wrapping up tomorrow for Canadians and Friday for U.S. citizens. And I really expect to see a strong January effect. You're going to see some nice moves in a lot of these stocks. So we should have a very good January in 2022 at least.
Yeah, Dave, I was going to ask you about that because even though it differs from year to year, you know, we were looking at a 30-year seasonality chart last week talking on the blog, and January is the strongest month for precious metals by far. The second strongest month is September, which was not very pretty for this year in the precious metals, but no 2 years are the same, but generally we see tax loss selling hit at the end of the year from November to December, and then a bounce into the first quarter, what we call the Q1 run or the boomerang effect. But at that point, let's say we get a nice bounce in the miners and in the whole sector going into January, would you use that event as an area to lighten the load, or would you be watching to see if there's some continuation, if it could get some legs to it?
Yeah, that's the $64,000 question right there, Shad. I mean, I want to see how the miners and how silver reacts to this move that I'm expecting, this bounce that I'm expecting into at least the end of January and maybe the middle of February. So if we get a strong close above 35 in the GDX and above 47 in the GDXJ with some good volume and weekly closes above those levels, I'll feel a lot better about this double bottom holding in the GDX and the GDXJ. But if we start to see silver acting weaker, let's take a look at silver here. I mean, the gold-silver ratio got up to 82 again here recently. And anytime it gets over 80, you got to start to worry. And it's reversed from that area. And now we're seeing silver leading gold. We're seeing GDXJ leading the GDXJ a bit here. We're seeing the miners leading the gold price. That's all good going into next year. But if you start to see silver getting down to 22, and if silver loses $21, that's a big red flag, and silver could get all the way down to 1850 area before it stops. And, silver has these major moves. And I think a catalyst for that would be a breakout higher in the U.S. dollar. The U.S. dollar has become extreme overbought here recently. It's trying to roll over a bit here. But after a dollar correction would help the gold price higher a little bit. If silver doesn't get over $25 on this move and stay there for a while, I'd be worried about that 22 level giving way and eventually $21 giving way for a final flush out in the silver price.
So then, Dave, how aggressive are you getting with your portfolio then? Are you buying? Have you sold everything that you're planning on selling? What's your strategy for what still looks to be a pretty big question mark heading into next year?
Yeah, I wrapped up my tax loss selling a while ago. I've purchased one thing here. I purchased a growth oriented producer that I really like, and it's trading at, like everything else, the value in relation to the gold price is fantastic here. But I do have a little bit of cash here left, and yeah, I'm going to play it by ear. Like I said, it's how going into next year. I mean, I'm going to see how this bounce plays out. Will I trim a little bit? I might do that. If some of these things have really fantastic moves that I've purchased, if they've doubled, then yes, I'll take some off the table, even if I think the gold price is going a lot higher. But some of these stocks, I mean, they've just been taken out behind the woodshed and completely been smacked down. I mean, some of them are down 75-80% from their moves where they had, 5-10 times moves in a short period of time. And nothing much has gone on with the story of the stock. If it's a developer, all the gold is still there. In some cases, the management team, they did the right thing. They raised money at the right time. They still got a lot of that money. And the only thing that's changed is the perception in the marketplace that basically I don't want to own gold stocks here. Gold stocks, the gold price hasn't gone anywhere for the past year. It's traded in this range. It's had bull traps. It's had bear traps. I don't want to mess with this because I can always go into equities that continue to go higher. But, the contrarian in me and the reason why I got into the sector in the first place is jumping up and down at the opportunity here to be in these stocks and just have a little more patience. Some of them I got into a little early. Yeah, they're down 10-15%, but the other ones that I got in a little earlier up, 30-40-60%. So it's just going to take a little more patience. And if you would have told me at the beginning of the year that the gold price was going to end above 1800 and yet the GDXJ was going to be trading at 41 where it was trading back in late 2019 when the gold price was trying to get above 1500, I said you were crazy.
All right, we're out of time for this segment on the radio, but everybody listening on the radio, you can hear this full interview that was posted midweek, as well as all of these segments in the weekend show posting that is live this morning. Everybody, I hope you all enjoyed this segment. Stick around, we're going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
You've heard that supply lines are down or moving slow. And that most everything costs more these days. But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable and easy to clean. So this year, give the gift of pain relief, an extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
An important message from Byram Healthcare. If you live with diabetes, you know how challenging and painful it can be to manage your blood sugar. With private insurance, Medicare, or Medicaid, that can all change. If you test your blood sugar 4 or more times a day and inject insulin 3 or more times a day, you may qualify to receive at little or no cost, less copays and deductibles, a continuous glucose monitor, providing blood sugar readings with no uncomfortable finger sticks. That alerts you in real time to potential spikes with your blood sugar levels. Byram Healthcare is a leading U.S. provider of continuous glucose monitors. We carry most major brands and will work with your insurance to get your benefits approved. So if you have diabetes, call a U.S.-based Byram Healthcare specialist now and see if you qualify.
800-535-6078. 800-535-6078. 800-535-6078. That's 800-535-6078.
Your week
weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. One more daily editorial here for New Year's Eve. And just as a note, this daily editorial will also be on the weekend show. We are chatting with Richard Postma, a.k.a. Doc. And, Doc, I know a lot of our listeners want to hear your outlook for the precious metals, even though you have been sharing your thoughts with our listeners through the comment section. We're going to get to the precious metals, but first, I do want to get your thoughts on the U.S. equity markets. We've chatted a lot off mic about the U.S. markets, but we've never spent too much time, at least in the last little while, getting your thoughts on the market. Look, there's no denying that 2021 and even, well, the last three quarters of 2020 were very good for U.S. equity markets. Ever since that COVID washout in early 2020, the markets have, for the most part, gone straight up. And 2021 was, in a way, kind of a boring market for those passive investors because the indexes just kept moving higher. Not the same story if you were selecting stocks, because there are a number of stocks that have sold off in the face of these rising broad averages. But Doc, as we are now turning the corner out of what was a very good year for U.S. equity markets, what's your outlook for 2022?
Well, Corn Chad, I mentioned a number of times in the past, in the last 2 months, that on a monthly chart, the NACD is at levels I haven't seen in years, as far as I can go back on my charts. That, to me, is a warning sign. Now, you could, going forward, you could say, okay, we had a little peak in 2018 in January, February, and then the market started to trade sideways down on the MACD on the monthly chart, and the market still went up. We could have the same thing now. But the other possibility is that we could roll over, especially with the tapering and the promise of interest rate hikes. And now they're reestablishing the GDP for the first quarter of the year, saying they're concerned that it might not be the 5% increase that they were thinking of, but it could be as low as 2% increase. So we're getting into a year where there's going to be a lot of imponderables affecting this market. So what I did yesterday, when the market opened and opened higher, I shorted it. And I did that partly because we were up around the upper Bollinger band on the daily chart. And I figured if we're going to have a slowdown in the economy next year, which is, I think, a real possibility, and even maybe get into a recession, that we might have a January effect that often happens to predate that. And I thought I'd position myself for that possibility. Now, whether that'll happen or not, I don't know, but we'll know the first 2 weeks of January. So that's how I'm looking at that at the market right now.
Well, Doc, I just recently watched the movie The Big Short again, and so if you're right on this, we're going to make a part two starring Doc Postma, The Big Short, part two. But on that January effect note, in all seriousness, you know, you sometimes can get a feel for the year based on how January goes, but is it also possible that January is still okay for the markets, but that the real pressure doesn't start until the Fed actually starts hiking rates, which is now looking more like May, and they think there's going to be a series of three hikes this next year? Couldn't that be what actually causes the real crimp, and couldn't it take a little while longer for that to set into the general markets?
Absolutely. And I think what I'm concerned about is this time around the Fed might get a lot more aggressive than people think. And I mention it on the site that I think they're really scared of what they're seeing on the inflationary front. And they're going to have to really get aggressive to make it look like they're going to attempt to do something about that. And so it might not be the last time we saw them taper, where they backed off rather quickly. This time they might inflict some pain on the markets, and not only on the conventional markets, but on the housing market and other markets, just to try to appear that they're serious about it this time. So it may get a little bit more dicey than people think this time around. Sure, January could have a decent month. We'll see. But I think next year could be a real problem for a lot of markets.
So, Doc, just looking at this monthly chart for the S&P, looking at really any Bollinger Band, whether you look at the 50-month, the 200-month, whatever it might be, these moving averages are way below where the current price is. Just goes to show how strong the markets moved this month. Is that worrisome at all for you? Because we do keep on hearing as much as stuff gets extended or stretched one way, usually everything does come back to the mean.
Absolutely, and that's an excellent point on the monthly. And whether you look at weekly or monthly charts like that, that's why I got a little bearish on the gold market also back in August and September of last year when I said we might be peaking. Whenever you outstrip from some of those long-term moving averages, you're just asking for trouble. And you're absolutely correct about that right now. And when you go back to 2007 and 8 when we had that financial crisis, the market came way back to those moving averages. So it could happen again, especially if the Fed gets a little bit too tight and suddenly lose control of this whole thing. Then they're not going to be able to do anything about it, I think, and it might be out of their hands. And then the markets have a real problem on their hands if that's the case.
Well, Doc, you mentioned you're going to be monitoring the January effect for the general markets, but what about the precious metals? What are you looking at for gold as we move into the new year? Do you think we could get a bounce, the seasonally strong bounce coming out of tax loss selling, and where do you think it goes from there?
Well, gold is really interesting right here because we talked off mic about it, about how, and I mentioned that this morning we had a nice little rally in gold. And then we fell back a little bit. And what I found interesting about the rally this morning was we got up, and currently we're heading to that area, 1826. We're at 1826.70 right now. And if we close up here, this is going to be the first month in a long time that we're going to close a month above the 20-month moving average of the Bollinger Bands, which I've been emphasizing. And that, for the bulls, could be significant. We could back off again and by 4 or 6 o'clock be below that. But, you know, we're at 1826.70, and if you look at the monthly gold chart, the 20-month moving average of the Bollinger Bands is 1823.71. So we could close above this for the first time in about 4 months. And that's important to give hope that maybe we could start another gold bull here.
All right, Doc, we're out of time for the radio, but everyone listening on the radio, come visit our website, kereport.com, because we continue this conversation with Richard Postma for a good another 10 to 15 minutes. Everyone stick around. We're going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Cities around the world are ringing in the new year and celebrating 2022.
Happy New Year!
There were no fireworks in central London due to the Omicron variant surge. In New York City, they're having scaled back celebrations as well. All attendees must be fully vaccinated and be wearing a mask. President Biden and First Lady Jill Biden sent out a New Year's Eve message on ABC TV.
Happy New Year, America.
From our family to yours, we wish you peace, joy, and good health in the year ahead.
The CDC has recorded nearly 2 million new COVID-19 cases in the past week. At least 15 states have now reported their highest single-day totals ever. Hospitals are saying they're seeing a staggering surge in COVID patients, and 99% of them are unvaccinated. This is USA Radio News. Violence broke out in the Germantown section of Philadelphia, injuring 6 people after more than 65 shots were heard. Initial reports suggest the shooter hasn't been identified, and the incident is still under investigation. A 21-year-old woman was shot multiple times in the abdomen and was rushed to the hospital, where she remains in critical condition. 5 men under 30 were also injured in the gunfire. Most students in Michigan's Oxford schools will be heading back to classrooms on Monday after losing a month of learning.
All the buildings in the Oxford Community School District will reopen Monday except the high school. That's where a 15-year-old student opened fire on November 30th and killed 14. Superintendent Tim Throne addressed parents in an online video describing the January 3rd reopenings as the next, quote, steps in our community's journey toward healing, unquote. In the USA Radio Midwest Bureau, I'm Katie Lewis.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are going to be focusing on the energy sector as we are chatting with Joseph Schachter, founder and editor of the Schachter Energy Report. Also writes the free report that is Eye on Energy that simply reports on some of the fundamentals, the data that is coming out of the energy sector. And Joseph, we'll start kind of on the high level here, recapping a recent Eye on Energy report. When it comes to the underlying oil price, look, oil reached a peak of $85.41 back in late October. That's for crude. Dropped down to about the $62 region by the end of November. So November, tough month for oil. But throughout December, the energy or oil price has recovered here and is currently trading in mid-70s. So a nice rebound from that $62 low. Joseph, as you're seeing the data right now, is this run in oil, or at least rebound, is it getting ahead of itself? Are you still relatively, I guess, bearish on the general oil price?
Yeah, right now, of course, we're in the strongest period of demand because, of course, winter is here and, you know, the cold weather has made an impact. So heating oil, propane are up. So this week we had 22.2 million barrels of demand. That compares to 19.3 a year ago when we were during the worst of the pandemic. And that number is above where we were in 2019. just before the pandemic. So we do have a greater demand on a total basis and on both gasoline demand and also on jet fuel. So we're finally above the 2019 numbers pre-pandemic. The offset to that is we're getting more production coming on. U.S. production rose this week by 200,000 to 11.8. That compares to a year ago of 11 million. So we're getting more production coming on. So I think the price of oil will hold up over the next month or two during winter because demand will be strong for, you know, home heating fuel. And of course, you know, people are driving more, going around. So gasoline demand will stay up. And of course, propane because of heating for the winter months is being used a lot. So the numbers should stay high January, February. And then there's the wild card of what happens with Russia and Ukraine. If there's, you know, if the military adventurism of the Russians goes and they invade, that could, you know, spike up the price of oil because many countries may start to cut off buying from Russia. And in return, that would provide market share for others. And, of course, they would probably want to see higher prices. But once we get through the end of winter, you know, March period, I expect we're going to see in Q2 of 2022 lower prices than we are today, the 76.40 or so that we are right now. And I think that prices will even go below the 62 you mentioned of 2 months ago. And I think that likely, you know, we could see, you know, somewhere in the 50s, potentially late in Q2 as we go into the shoulder season. Demand is weaker, and we have you know, new production coming on from the U.S. And you know, even if we don't get to 400,000 barrels per day of new production from OPEC, from the amount that they shut in you know, after the pandemic hit, even if that number is only 200,000 or 300,000 per month, that new supply after winter, you know, when demand falters, will be enough to show a build. And even the EIA, the Energy Information Administration of the U.S. government, the IEA, which is International Energy Agency, are all talking about builds starting in Q2 of 2022, and that there would be builds in inventory throughout all the rest of 2022, i.e. Q2, Q3, and Q4, which should put a lid on oil prices and probably bring them down.
Well, Joseph, just along the same lines of supply and demand, I saw an article recently talking about the tankers and that there's going to be a 5% increase in 2022 as far as the tankers, but they think that may bring another 70 to 80 tankers online. That could actually be another supply factor. And then there's also a few countries that are still sitting on their oil, like Libya, Ecuador, and even to some degree Nigeria. So do you think some of those could come online next year, and would that further pressure the oil price?
Yeah, there's individual issues. Libya, there's an election going on, so there's been force majeure and their ports are not shipping oil. Nigeria has had a lot of production problems, and so it's lack of capital investment. Same thing with some of the other countries, you know, Angola and others, where there's lack of, you know, issues. Ecuador, you mentioned, is another one. But, you know, if you look at, you know, Iraq, Kuwait, you know, UAE, Saudi Arabia, enough production could come on from them that would more than, you know, meet the demand. And then the two wild cards, of course, are Venezuela, which I wrote about in the Eye on Energy. And again, people who want to access that, just go to our website, and under subscriptions, they'll see the subscriber paid ones, the annual, quarterly, and then they'll see the free Eye on Energy, and they can just sign up there. And that's where we do, as we, with the macro stuff that we're talking about right now. But I think that, you know, we're seeing Venezuela getting diluent now on a barter basis from Iran, using that to create saleable product. And China's the buyer of it at a discount. They're buying Iranian crude at $4 off Brent per barrel, and they're buying Venezuelan crude at a discount of even more than that. So these sanctioned states are still able to sell oil to China that doesn't care about the U.S. sanctions, and the U.S. can't really do anything against China. They've got enough problems with the regular trade war with China. So I think that China can continue doing what they're doing without any problem.
Now, how about a little bit more information on those U.S. production numbers, too? Because you're outlining there that U.S. production is growing. Do you think there's a certain limit it can grow to? What do we need to be aware of when it comes to the U.S. involvement in the supply aspect here?
Yeah, the key thing is the drilling. The productivity of the wells in the Permian continue to be very good, both in Texas and New Mexico. The rig count's the key. The U.S. rig count is 586 last week Friday from Baker Hughes, up from 348, so that's up 68%. And the oil rig count is 480, up from 264. That's up 82%. And then when you go into the Permian Basin, the rig count went up 6 rigs last week to 294, up from 173 a year ago, up 70%. So with all of the money going into that one basin, or a majority of it into that one basin, there is an increase in the productive capacity. And I think that given the lucrative, you know, wells that can do 600 barrels a day through, you know, 2,000 barrels a day, the economics on the 600 are fabulous and the 2,000 are unbelievable, you know, six-month payouts, that the activity is going to continue to increase for two reasons. One, companies have to offset their depletion, their decline rates. So if you go to the best, most lucrative return and fastest return assets, and where there's facilities to bring it on quickly, which is, of course, is the Permian. And the second, of course, is companies want to show some growth to Wall Street so that they can have access to capital. And, of course, if the economics are so good, then the money comes in, you pay down your debt, you have access to, you know, you have more cash flow, and you can use that cash flow, share buybacks, dividends. So the economics of under one-year payouts in the Permian just stand out. And the same thing you can say for the Montney in Canada, for our, you know, our condensate liquids rich natural gas wells that are you know, in Canada, that are doing very well for the companies in that area, you know, Tourmaline being, you know, a big player in that group.
Well, Joseph, you brought up natural gas there, and this time of year when it's very cold, and we were talking off mic about just how cold it is almost everywhere we're at right now, natural gas comes into the forefront. What do you think the natural gas market looks like for next year going into 2022?
Well, there's more LNG plants coming on, different phases of by Cheniere and others on the Gulf Coast, and we're going to see more volumes go to the highest price markets, and right now that's Europe. Second highest price market is Asia. You know, you can get 30 in Asia or 40 in Europe with the price decline that we've just seen. 50 was the high, you know, a month and a half ago or so. You know, that's still very good economics. There was an article in Forbes recently that talked about you know, each one tanker is a $30 to $40 million profit for the company.
All right, Joseph, we have to wrap up this segment here for the radio, but we are bringing you back on next segment. We're going to dive a bit more into the energy stock. So everyone stick around. We're going to be right back with Joseph Schachter.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
You've heard that supply lines are down or moving slow. And that most everything costs more these days. But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable and easy to clean. So this year, give the gift of pain relief. An extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Welcome back here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report, the first one of 2022. We are continuing to chat with Joseph Schachter, and we're getting more into the stocks. So, Joseph, when we dive down into some of these companies, what's your assessment of general valuations when it comes to oil stocks? Because, look, oil still is up there, and I've heard the argument that some of the oil stocks still have lagged that general increase in oil, but I know that some of the stocks have also done very well. What's your broad assessment of where the stocks stand compared to this mid-70s oil price?
Well, you know, it's like, you know, when prices are low, you have high price to cash flow multiples. When prices are high, like they were in 08, remember we were 147, cash flow multiples are low, because people don't believe the 147 was going to last. There were some running around saying it was going to go to 200 at the end of 2008, and I think we all know what happened. You know, in 2009, it was $34. So, you know, prices can swing around very, very quickly. I'm in the camp, you know, where if you want to be conservative, you do like Suncor and others, where they say the long-term price for oil is 40 or 50, not anywhere the 70 or 80 that some of the smaller, more entrepreneurial companies are plugging into their, you know, presentations now and showing that their cash flows are going to be explosive and that they can retire their debt and you know, their stocks are cheap. And then, you know, they plug in NAVs based on the current, the higher commodity deck and the forward curve, which makes the stocks look cheap. But on the other hand, if you're in my camp and you say, look, this price is pushing extremes, economies are going to slow down because of these high inflation costs, you know, if you look at the, you know, personal income is not growing. I think the data was that personal spending in the month of December is up 0.6 on the preliminary, and consumer income is only up 0.4. So there's a margin squeeze for people, and if inflation continues next year and you remove a lot of the, you know, the government largesse, which has happened on both sides of the border, Canada and the States, that means, you know, there's less money coming into the house, and your costs are going up. So I think that, you know, we're looking at a margin squeeze here, and you take into account, the Fed is tapering, and by March, the end of March, the $120 billion of every month on an annual basis, that's $1.44 trillion. That's 6% of GDP where the monetary heroin has been removed to. You've got the quantity of money coming down because of the monetary removal of the tapering. The price of money is going to come up in March, April. The Fed's going to start raising rates following New Zealand and UK, which have led the OECD countries with rising interest rates. And so you look at the cost of money going up and the volume of money coming down, and you look at the velocity of money not going up, and you're looking at a situation where in 2022 we could see weaker economies and very poor economic data. That's not good for these high oil prices. And with more volume coming on in the States and more volume coming on from OPEC, then you're going to see a build in inventories. And again, that's not positive. So I'm going to stay with my cautious view or a bearish view, if you want to use that term. And I think our range is 80 on the high side if you have, let's say, something happens with Ukraine, with Russia. And on the downside, I think you're probably looking in the low 50s. So we're at the higher end of that range, and stocks are pretty euphoric here with the year-end strength. People are with so many names coming in, going into the TSX, a lot of institutions that are modeling their portfolios similar to the weightings of the TSX that have been buyers over the last few weeks to make their portfolios fit in line with the indices. And so that buying power will dissipate starting in the beginning of the year of 2022.
Well, Joseph, you'd also mentioned before we started recording that some of these companies are carrying some pretty big abandonment liabilities and other liabilities, as well as heavy debt loads. So maybe discuss how some of those could be hidden headwinds for these companies as we move into next year.
Yeah, I think when we start seeing the annual reports in March, April for 2021, when they come out with the annual reports and the annual information forms and their reserve reports, I think we're going to be looking very carefully to see, where they are on their debt situation and their abandonment liabilities. I think the first thing companies are going to do is get the banks off their back. The banks want to lower, even with higher commodity prices, they're being pressured on the ESG side not to lend money to fossil fuel companies. So that's a basic long-term problem. And then the other one is, banks have, had to, change some of their conditions when the price of oil got down and companies were violating those conditions. So they raised the price of money, but they gave them some freedom on that. So they're going to say to them, look, you were up at 3x debt to cash flow. We've talked to you about getting to 2. Maybe that number now is 1.5x debt to cash flow, and here's our commodity price deck, which might be lower than yours. So that could all be part of the focus of companies is, number one, get their debt under control. Those that have done a great job, like Tourmaline, don't have that problem. Their debt to cash flow is under half a year, so they don't have a problem. They could pay it off, and they could also do more term debt or corporate debt, because, of course, natural gas is favored from an environmental point of view over oil, and especially heavy oil. On the abandonment liabilities, again, the government of Alberta has kept their mouth quiet for a while because of the low prices of oil, and of course they wanted to see the industry do better, and of course they wanted to see royalty income come in the door so that their budget deficits would come down. That's now happening, and so now they're going to come back to the companies and say, look, there's these massive abandonment liabilities out there, and for many companies, that number could be greater than the shareholders' equity component of the balance sheet. We want you guys to start bringing them down and bringing, and let's try to figure out if it's going to be 8 years, 10 years, 12 years instead of 30 years, which you, the way you're working right now. So companies may be forced to, for every new well that they drill, they might have to abandon 3 or 4 of the wells that are not producing. And so if the government puts that on and puts the pressure on, that means less cash flow will go into new wells. And that will probably impact how the companies produce in terms of their revenues and cash flow, which would then lower the value of the stocks as they have to spend money on that. So all of that will start showing visually in March, April, May of 2022, and I'll be watching that very carefully. And in our reports and for each of our companies in our paid product, we'll be going over those issues and saying who's doing doing what needs to be done to rectify their, you know, their large abandonment issues, and we'll be going through and saying, okay, here's the number of wells that are non-producing at the end of 2021 compared to 2020. You know, they've cut back, you know, they've cleaned up X number as a percentage of the total. It's this, and you know, they're on target, or the number is the same or bigger than it was at the end of 2020, and they're doing nothing, and therefore they're going to be the ones you want to shy away from because they've got this massive liability. And all of a sudden, if the politicians, and the big issue is, if there's an election and Kenny loses and the NDP comes in Alberta, they could push this right to the front and say, look, this is not our obligation, this is your obligation, you've got to fix this, and here's the requirements we're putting in place. That would then mean more cash flow goes to cleanup and less cash flow is available for other things, which is investing in the ground and shareholder returns. And the market has been looking at normal course issuer bids, you know, basic dividends and special dividends, and thinking that happy days are here again. If the NDP comes in, it won't be happy days are here again based on the requirement on abandonment liabilities.
Well, Joseph, just one more quick one on that same topic. When you're talking about the cleanup and the abandonment liabilities, when in a world where everyone is focused on ESG and all these environmental concerns and, you know, social concerns, could that be a crimp to the whole industry if that is brought to the forefront, as you just laid out? And my question would be, could that favor natural gas over oil companies moving into next year that are seen as, quote unquote, cleaner compared to the oil and gas companies? How do you think ESG factors into what we just covered?
Well, I think it does a lot, and that's why I've been focused in recommending more of the natural gas stocks, and the names that I favor that are on our action alert buy list right now are more natural gas focused than they are oily focused. And the reason is ESG. You've got institutions that have said we're not going to own fossil fuel stocks in Europe. Many of them in the pension fund area have said we're out. Banks have been under pressure to cut back their loan books to the oil companies, and the pressure on ESG from methane, methane emissions to carbon capture. You know, the industry is doing a really good job in Canada, and I think we're the leaders in the world on these environmental issues, and the industry is not getting a lot of credit for it.
All right, Joseph, we're going to wrap it up here, but a lot of information to take in. Overall, you are still generally bearish for the start of next year. You've outlined the reasons why, but when we have you back on early next year, maybe we'll dive into a bit more of the stocks that you think could rebound first. Joseph, thank you very much for your time throughout this year. It's always interesting hearing what you are seeing and your outlook for the energy sector. We'll be chatting in the new year. So, in the meantime, Joseph, have a very happy new year.
Thanks very much. My pleasure to be working with you all year.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.